visiting with you every single day. I really do. There's not a day goes by that I don't enjoy talking to the audience and having them talk to me. Do you want to remind everybody that you're listening to The Guy James Show? Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned for great programming the whole rest of the evening.
This is the Quality News Network. An especially violent day in Baghdad today. At least 65 people were killed outside of a university in a Shiite neighborhood at the time classes ended. Many of the victims were female students. At least 138 were wounded. The United Nations reports that last year at least 34,000 Iraqi civilians were killed in sectarian violence. That figure is much higher than what the Iraqi government reported. Four American soldiers were killed yesterday by an improvised explosive device in northern Iraq, according to the U.S. military. The American death toll in the Iraq war is now at least 3,024. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with the Saudi foreign minister to ask for his country's help in supporting the Iraqi government. He was said to be skeptical of the Iraqi government's ability to do its part. Afterwards, Rice traveled to Kuwait as part of her Middle East trip to meet with U.S. allies and urge them to support President Bush's Iraq policy. First-term Democratic Senator Barack Obama of Illinois announced today that he is creating a presidential exploratory committee, the first step in a 2008 presidential run. He said he would have more to say about his plans in mid-February. The Associated Press reports he will formally launch his White House bid in Springfield, the city where Abraham Lincoln lived, around Lincoln's birthday. Outspoken illegal immigration opponent Republican Representative Tom Tancredo of Colorado announced he plans to run for president in 2008. He has served five terms in Congress. Today, jury selection began in the perjury and obstruction trial of former Chief of Staff to Vice President Cheney, Lewis Scooter Libby. He is accused of lying about leaking the identity of a CIA officer to reporters. Defense Secretary Robert Gates traveled to Afghanistan today. He said Pakistan must do more to stop Taliban fighters from crossing over the border into Afghanistan. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert will be investigated by the government for his involvement in a bank privatization deal. A Spanish newspaper reports today that Cuban leader Fidel Castro has undergone at least three operations which failed, and he is suffering from complications of an intestinal infection. South of Louisville, a train derailment and fire forced the closure of a busy Kentucky interstate today. A highly flammable liquid was aboard several of the cars. There were no reports of injuries. This is the second train wreck in the state in the past 2 days. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
The winter ice storm that hit the Midwest and Plains states is now causing problems on the East Coast. 46 people have died in 7 states. The weight of the ice has broken tree limbs and knocked out power to tens of thousands of customers. The 4-day freeze that hit California has cost citrus farmers at least $650 million. 70% of the oranges may have been destroyed. Strawberries and avocados have also suffered damage from the cold weather. Overall, the state's citrus crop is valued at $1.3 billion. Starbucks will begin to stop using milk that contains the controversial artificial growth hormone at its coffee houses. Pfizer's new chief executive may cut several thousand jobs, according to a report in today's Wall Street Journal. He is also considering major changes in how the world's largest drug company develops, makes, and markets its products. Citigroup will soon be rebranded as just Citi. The financial giant will have a new logo without the familiar red umbrella. A report by an independent panel finds that oil company BP failed to focus on safety before the 2005 explosion at its Texas City facility that killed 15 people. Light Sweet crude is trading at $51.21 a barrel. And taking a look at Wall Street, the Dow in record territory, up 17 points at 12,572, the NASDAQ down 7, the S&P 500 flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
G'day, everybody. Welcome aboard. It's about 7 minutes past some sort of hour, all depending on where you are. It's, Wednesday morning here in Australia. It's Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, probably where you are. And welcome to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, where we turn the conversation to conservation. And I had a few things lined up for today, and then all of a sudden our news ninja popped up and just flooded me with a whole bunch more. So I think the direction where I was going to go is shifting slightly, but that's all good. Man, I think I just got enough stuff for doing shows for a week about the last 15 minutes. Got a lot of stuff on emissions-free automobiles, the changing of the seasons. We got a few things, lots of stuff, interesting stuff, and today's track of the day. I we almost went and did some Brian Setzer today, but I think I might save that for the Friday show. You know, go swinging out to the weekend. But figure I've been, since doing this whole track of the day thing, it's all been way too blokey on this show. So I figured it was time to hear something from, you know, one of the greatest women in music ever. And there was only one place to go. So we'll be doing a little bit of Emmylou Harris later on in the program. A voice that just puts goosebumps on this guy. She's magnificent, but I'll drool all about that a little bit later. But anyway, a couple things on green vehicles that are looking up. First of all, Subaru's all-electric RE1 wins Japanese government award. This is quite cool. Japan's Minister for the Environment likes Subaru's R1E, a small electric vehicle that Japanese automaker developed with Tokyo Electric Power Company. And NEC, Lemillion Energy Limited. The award is called the 2006 Commendation for Global Warming Prevention Activity and goes out to the R1E and its high-speed charger, which can charge the city car in about 15 minutes. Standard outlet charging takes 8 hours. Either option gives the R1E a range of 50 miles and a top speed of 62 miles an hour. The most impressive number is the life of the high-density lithium-ion battery is estimated at 10 years or 124,000-plus miles. TEPCO says it plans to have 150 fast charge stations and about 3,000 EVs in Kagawa Prefecture in the next 5 years. Customers interested in the R1E should go into production in 2009 can look forward to a 90% reduction in car taxes and purchase taxes, as well as discounted parking and highway fees. So this is quite interesting. One of the commenters here on this post, which is at Autoblog Green. The first commenter says, I don't know, but this seems to me to make the hoopla behind the ship look rather bad. All the hot air about batteries not being quite ready and such. Hello, looks like little old Subaru has got it figured out. This is, and I think he's very, very right, because there's been rumors about that Chevy with all their brouhaha over the Volt. It was thought that they had some sort of inside track on new battery technology. So maybe that's not necessarily the case. But then again, if Subaru is developing this along with one of Japan's largest power companies, I can see where the research dollars and whatnot could go very far to developing better battery technology. And on the same line, you'll remember a couple weeks ago I mentioned an outfit called Phoenix Motor Cars, where they had the 5-passenger pickup truck that could get about a 150-kilometer range, complete plug-in electric technology. And it was announced today on blog.com. They say, see, we told you, Phoenix had a good thing with its all-electric SUT. Phoenix says it's taken orders from several utility companies and municipalities for 75 of its battery-powered sports utility vehicles. The Ontario-based company doesn't mention any buyers by name, though. Phoenix has to sell 425 more SUTs before December to reach its goal. Their next trick, a full-size SUV capable of carrying 7 passengers on not one drop of gas. From the press release, January 12, 2007, Phoenix Motor Cars has announced the receipt of 75 fleet orders from several municipalities and a utility company for its new zero-emissions, all-electric, freeway-ready sports utility truck. The company, which is on target to manufacture and sell 500 fleet-ready vehicles by year's end, will produce 16 pilot-build vehicles next month. Some of the 16 vehicles will be used to continue validation of the federally mandated safety test process. The company is working with Boschart Engineering, an Ontario, California company that specializes in vehicle certification services, to gain its federal motor vehicle certification. Boschart has already made substantial progress towards certifying Phoenix's vehicles, said Dan Elliott, CEO of Phoenix Motor Cars. Boschart has kept to aggressive timetable. So this is all really, really, really good stuff. And people are interested. See, these folks only announced production of these first 500 cars a couple of months ago, and they've already taken orders for 75. And so this is... And going to fleet vehicles, this is the way this technology is really going to move forward. If local municipalities say replace all of their heavy vehicles and whatnot with electric powered sport utility trucks, they would then have an interest in putting the infrastructure within their local area and make these type of vehicles extremely viable to the average consumer. So I think it's time for us to take our first break of the day. If you want to get in on the program, you can dial into 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and send us your thoughts. I'd really love to, I'm still looking for people to write in and tell me what they're doing personally to make a difference and lead by example, because I think that's the only thing that we can do is to not just talk about it, but to do it so that people see that it is doable and you can, you know, make yourself feel a little bit better about the way you live your daily life if everything you do has the environment in mind. And I've got something along those lines that Agnes sent me yesterday. So we're going to take this break and we'll be back with a little bit more stuff and some Emmylou Harris for the track of the day. So we'll see you right after this. She was like so many more from that time on. The lives were all so empty until they found their chosen one. And the legs were out and open, but their minds were all closed. And their hearts were held in fast suburban chains. And the legal pads were your hours long payback. And the telex.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman. The steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
right, everybody. Welcome back to Fox Stuff. And before we went to the break, I was making comment about trying to do what you can with your own life. You know, sometimes the larger, you know, battles of, you know, fighting subsidies to big oil and the pipe dream that is clean coal and all that kind of thing. But there's heaps that we can do in our individual lives. And Agnes sent me this great article from Stephen Leahy, and I believe that this was from the Care 2 Network. I unfortunately don't have a link here. But it's a piece called Challenges 2006-2007, Charging Towards the Big Melt. And this this piece kind of reinforces what I was trying to say. From Brooklyn, Canada, this is January 15th. Record retail store sales during the holiday season in North America is one reason 2007 is predicted to be the hottest year on record. And it's well past time that people began to connect the dots between what they buy and the resulting environmental impacts, such as global warming, experts say. In other words, consumption has consequences, big, nasty environmental consequences that inflict suffering mainly on the world's poor. That North Americans, and to a lower extent Europeans, are prolific consumers is well known. If everyone consumed like North Americans, we'd need five planets to support us. Only three planets are necessary if we all live like Europeans, according to the World Wildlife Fund's Living Planet Report. The world collectively overshot the Earth's capacity to support us in 1984. In the 22 years since reaching that crucial tipping point, rates of consumption of resources have accelerated, not just in North America and Europe, but China and India, not to mention other parts of Asia and Latin America. While this ever-accelerating consumption of resources is the sign of a healthy global economy, according to economists, it has also resulted in climate change, amongst many other environmental and social ills. People don't appreciate that their purchases have real environmental impacts, said Monique Tilford, acting executive director of the Center for a New American Dream, a Maryland group promoting environmentally and socially responsible consumption. They also don't think of their individual actions make much of a difference, Tilford told IPS. And they give this great example of how this plays out. A Chinese-made computer desk that can be bought for $40 or $50 at a U.S. or European retail store is likely to be the product of illegal cutting in Indonesian rainforests. Such clear cutting not only fuels crime syndicates, it results in the loss of biodiversity releases huge amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and drives indigenous people off their lands. We need to shift people to become more environmentally and socially conscious consumers, said Tilford. That means buying less stuff and also being willing to spend more on products that are better for the environment or societies in other countries. As for those willing to be more conscious, they often don't have the knowledge or information to know what's better, and that's the role of NGOs like ours. CNAD started a responsible purchasing network for state and local governments in 2000, which has been successful in creating a large market for environmentally friendly products, Tilford said. And there's more in this, but this is that whole idea that we can, as the consumer, put pressure by making intelligent choices. So I think that there's a lot to be said there. Okay. On to the track of the day. And Emmylou Harris. What can you say about Emmylou Harris except for just she's a legend? And, you know, she's played with everybody 11 Grammys. And, you know, if she hasn't won in recent years, if she hasn't won, you know, the Country and Folk Album of the Year Award, she was involved in the recording or the production or the writing of what did win. And just from the Wikipedia on Emmylou, it says Emmylou Harris, born April 2nd, 1947, Birmingham, Alabama. Is a country music singer, songwriter, and musician. Aside from her work as a solo artist and band leader, she's a sought-after backing vocalist and duet performer working with such artists as Graham Parsons, Bob Dylan, The Band, Neil Young, Dolly Parton, Bright Eyes, Linda Ronstadt, Willie Nelson, Mark Knopfler, John Denver, Ryan Adams, Steve Earle, Dave Matthews, Bruce Springsteen, Connor Oberst, Vince Gill, and Tom Van Laer. And, I mean, and the list goes on. So, I'm going to play the title track from the 1995 album Wrecking Ball, which was the reemergence of Emmylou. After country radio decided to kind of follow the format of new country, which I like to call bad rock, she wasn't getting airplay anymore. So it was time for a bit of a change. So she hooks up with, you know, a new record label, and with this album she does her first album produced with Daniel Lanois, best known for U2, Peter Gabriel, Bob Dylan. And on this track, it's a Neil Young song penned by Neil Young. Neil Young adds some backing vocals and some, I believe, harmonica to this particular track. And this album was much more kind of falling into a bit of an what I guess the labels would call an alternative rock situation. New voicings, and Daniel Lanois would do some interesting things, you know. Not so much this record, but I think the follow-up to it, Red Dirt Girl, he'd do things like walk into the band, and he described producing records like building a house, you know, foundations and all this other stuff. And so he'd tell all the musicians, you know, okay, you know, you are the foundation and you are the windows and all this kind of other thing. But the big thing that he'd do is sometimes he'd walk in the morning, grab everybody's instruments and swap them around. You know, take the sixth string out of Emmylou's hands and hand her a mandolin. Get the bass player on acoustic guitar, get the piano player playing bass, and say, okay, rearrange this track. I'll see you in the afternoon. And they would, because they'd all have to look at the song in a completely different direction, created some new avenues of creativity. And this is just, I love this album, and Red Dirt Girl is just fantastic. But and one of the greatest things that she's done in the last decade or so is The Return of the Grievous Angel, which was a tribute album to Graham Parsons, where Emmy makes an appearance on almost all of the tracks. But you've got Steve Earle, The Pretenders, I mean, the list just goes on and on. So anyway, without further ado, for no other reason than this is just gorgeous, Emmylou Harris and Wrecking Ball.
Yeah. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And just to wrap up my bit of just kind of drooling about Emmylou Harris off of the Emmylou Wikipedia. About that album, it says here, in 1995, Harris released one of the most critically acclaimed albums of the decade, Wrecking Ball, produced by Daniel Lanois, best known for his work with U2, Peter Gabriel, and Bob Dylan. An experimental album for Harris, to say the least. The record included Harris's rendition of Neil Young's penned title track. Young himself provided guest vocals on two of the album's songs. Steve Earle's Goodbye, Julie Miller's All My Tears, Jimi Hendrix's May This Be Love. Yes, Susan, I'll wipe my chin. Okay. Ha, 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 ha. Bloggers are giving me hell. Where was I? Oh, okay. Kate and Anna McGarrigle's Going Back to Harlan and Gillian Welch's Orphan Girl. U2's Larry Mullen Jr. showed up to play Project. The album received virtually no country airplay whatsoever. And this is what I find interesting. Like I said, new country, bad rock, no room for real players. But even though it got no airplay, it did bring Harris to the attention of alternative rock listeners, many of whom who had never listened to her music before. The following year, she appeared on Willie Nelson's moody, instrumental, sparse Tetra album, which was also produced by Lanois. Okay, enough about that now. Anyway, where are we going? Okay, this is kind of
interesting and always kind of made sense to me. If one actually reads the Bible, says the agnostic, there are things referenced in there, and someone like Peter or somebody else could probably point us directly to it, that we are caretakers of this planet, right? And here from MSNBC via the Associated Press, evangelical leaders reach pact with experts on global warming. Scientists and Christians unite on climate fight. And it says here, out of Boston, some leading scientists and evangelical Christian leaders have agreed to put aside their fierce differences over the origin of life and work together to fight global warming. Representatives met recently in Georgia and agreed on a need for urgent action. Details on the talks will be disclosed in Washington on Wednesday. Whether God created the Earth in a millisecond or whether it evolved over billions of years, the issue we agree on is that it needs to be cared for today, said Rich Sizek, Vice President of Government Relations for the National Association of Evangelicals, which represents 45,000 churches. Eric Shivian, Director of the Center for Health and Global Environment at Harvard Medical School, agreed, saying, "Scientists and evangelicals have discovered that we share a deeply felt common concern and sense of urgency about threats to life on Earth, and that we must speak with one voice to protect it." Shivian and Sizek, both of whom participated in the talks, declined further comment. In February 2006, 86 evangelical leaders signed a statement to fight global warming, saying that human-induced climate change is real and its consequences will hit the poor the hardest, and that the Christian moral convictions demand an urgent response. They argued that governments, businesses, churches, and individuals have a role to play. Signatories included presidents of evangelical colleges, A groups, churches, and pastors of mega churches. The powerful National Association of Evangelicals, however, did not join the initiative. It is unclear whether Sizek's involvement in the new campaign will lead the organization to adopt the environment as a central part of his agenda. Evangelicals and scientists previously failed to launch a large-scale joint initiative, partly because of differences between evolutionary science and a literal interpretation of the Bible, a rift that dates back to Charles Darwin's theory of natural selection. So, if they have to cherry pick their science that they want to follow, I'll take this one. and it would be nice to have evangelical churches looking to stop the end of life as we know it, as trying to stop the oncoming death of the planet, as opposed to trying to bring it on for some biblical second coming of somebody. But I'm not going to get onto a religious rant, because that's not what this show is about. But it's very, very good to see the evangelicals, who are such backers as a group of Bush and very right-wing conservatives, who are very blind to what's happening with the environment. This is a good thing. This is a very good thing. And if this becomes high on their agenda, it could end up maybe swinging their votes in the future, because I bet that a bunch of them are feeling like they've been left hanging out to dry after many, many failed promises from the president that talks to God. Yeesh. Okay. Where are we going from here? Okay. There's been also lots of discussion about things like bears no longer hibernating, the shifting of the seasons. Bob from North Dakota ringing in and saying that, they're in the middle of winter and he's going out in basically, ready to go out in shorts. It's so unbelievably warm for winter. But there's an article out of the Independent, and I think this is from yesterday, and there should be a link on the blog to this, Says spring in January, frogs, trees, and bees are deceived by winter's unseasonal warmth. St. Hilary's Day, New Year's Eve on the Julian calendar, and traditionally the coldest day of the year, passed yesterday as one of the warmest on record. Temperatures averaged 12 degrees centigrade above the seasonal average by 9 degrees centigrade. Let's see. More record-breaking warmth is expected this month, confusing plants and animals that should be now dormant. Daffodils, normally in bloom in March, are already out in St. Mawes in Cornwall. Dr. Nigel Taylor, the curator at the Royal Botanical Gardens at Kew, said the Crocus thomasinus, I think is how you say that, was in flower on New Year's Day, which is a record. This is 9 days earlier than any of our records, which go back to the 1950s. We've also got Narcissus February Gold that's already 5 inches through the ground, which we shouldn't be seeing for another month. Quite a number of plants haven't gone to sleep as they usually do. I would describe it as a case of no winter. Flowers are still in bloom that winter frost should normally have killed. Oak trees are still in leaf and rhododendrons in bloom. Frog spawn have also come early in some parts of the country, according to the Woodland Trust, whose Spring Watch campaign collects first sightings of spring. These are, you know, significant changes in the cycle of this planet. You know, I just, it's the reproductive cycles of plants and animals are going to be gravely affected by all of this. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see that. So I go back again to that other piece that I was reading about the fact that we need to become environmentally conscious in our consumption. And that's hard work. That is hard work. Tell me about it, because we've tried to do things over here, and it does take some work. There are a lot of benefits, though. Anyway, we got to take our last break for the day, and we're going to do that, and we'll be back with Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network right after this.
Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the President's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather, And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
It's all my brain. Agnes Kincaid, you are such an evil little producer, but thank you very much for that. That song always cracks me up when you toss it on there. Welcome back to Fox Up, everybody. Just a little bit more on similar stuff. Here also from The Independent. Global warming to blame as anglers delay salmon season. For more than 150 years, the start of Scotland's salmon fishing season on the River Tay has been celebrated in the middle of January. But the apparent impact of climate change on spawning patterns has forced conservationists and anglers to postpone this year's official seasonal opening on sections of the waterway for 2 weeks. For the first time in decades, salmon fishing in parts of Perthshire has had to be delayed because the fish, which began breeding in earnest as soon as the first heavy frost of winter starts to bite, have been thrown into confusion by the mild weather. We've got a lot of fish in the river due to mild water temperatures, but they have not had the big nudge from Mother Nature yet to get about their business, said John Monteith, head gilly for the noodle beat. Wow. For the noodle beat of the River Tay. For the past 4 or 5 years, about 60% of the fish caught on the opening day and subsequent weeks are fish that haven't spawned. It is clearly related to climate change and the warmer water temperatures. We need a good, hard frost to trigger the breeding season. Okay. And if that wasn't enough, decline in haymaking is killing off bumblebees. Also from The Independent, changing farming practices have played a major role in the decline of the bumblebee, according to new research. The big drop in haymaking and the rise of silage is driving out the bees, whose numbers have declined by 60% since 1970. We suggest that the widespread replacement of hay with silage, which results in earlier and more frequent mowing and a reduction in late summer wildflowers, has played a major role in bumblebee decline, says the researcher for several Irish universities. Once a common sight in the countryside in clover, hedgerows, and around the edges of fields, most of the 20 species of bumblebees are in decline, and two have become extinct. 5 bumblebee species are designated UK Biological Action Plan species in recognition of their decline, with 3 more species scheduled for inclusion. Hello! We're losing more and more and more species. Global warming is shifting the breeding patterns, and we're getting to the point where in situations like I was just reading about the salmon not getting the frost that tells him to go and swim the other way. I mean, we're messing with the entire cycle of the planet. And there are certain things that tell other things to do things they need to do so other things happen. Okay. Just drives me crazy. But this is where, and I'm not going to get into it today. I might save it for tomorrow. I've got some stuff on environmental denier coming out, saying that he was wrong and why. And there's a but treehugger.com has I dig this. And this post probably goes back a bit, but it's linked from something that's there today, saying the four stages of global warming denial. One, global warming doesn't exist. It's not happening. Two, okay, it's happening, but humans are not causing it. Ha, ha, ha. Three, okay, humans are causing it, but there's nothing we can do about it. We can go back to the Stone Age. It would ruin our economy. It's worse to act than to not act, etc., blah, blah, blah. Any of these people playing these kind of things for, okay, it's possible with technology, efficiency, conservation, and smart planning to do something about it, but it's going to hurt the bottom line of dirty corporations. And there's responses to all this in this post, but there are the what's coming through the news daily, you know, submerged islands, ancient species of Chinese dolphins just disappearing. All this, what could be called anecdotal data, can only, you know, be put together and meaning one thing. You don't need to be a climatologist to understand the fact that our planet is getting hotter. Our species are dying, and we are supporting a population globally that we have not been able to sustain since 1984. So all these right-wingers just wanting more and more and more and more babies and not giving women choice, that's an environmental and global warming issue. Argy bargy. All right. Well, you know, this is why we do this every day. Hopefully giving, you know, a bit of insight on what's actually happening, you know. I mean, this stuff with like Phoenix Motor Cars and the Subaru and the Volta and all this kind of stuff. This is all moving in the right direction, and hopefully business is finally waking up to the fact that I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. If you want to still be in business and be profitable in the coming decades, it's time to get away from, you know, regular visits to the oil prostitute and come to something new. You know, and if that's going to take some regulation, well, bloody so be it. So bloody be it. Anyway, folks, it's time to wrap it up. So thank you for joining me today. The show was, as usual, produced brilliantly by Agnes Kincaid in wonderful West Virginia. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. Thanks to our mods and our bloggers for keeping everything on the website just kind of rocking and rolling, and that chat room just goes off. If you've never been there, you got to go. headonradionetwork.com/chatroom and you'll get right there. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do for the network, making things happen over here. Bloody Peter Godbold, not just our head mod in the chat room, but also our IT professional. Thank you very much, mate. And so, you know, here we've done a whole other day of green news and ranting and all that other kind of stuff, and we'll come back and do it tomorrow. So as we say here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would
will tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. The loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush said today that the execution of Saddam Hussein looked like a revenge killing. In today's interview with PBS, Mr. Bush was heavily critical of Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, saying that his new government has, quote, still got some maturation to do, unquote. An especially violent day in Baghdad. At least 65 people killed outside of a university in a Shiite neighborhood at the time classes ended. Many of the victims were female students. At least 138 were wounded. Altogether, including other blasts and shootings, at least 109 Iraqis died today. The United Nations reports that last year at least 34,000 Iraqi civilians were killed in sectarian violence. That figure is much higher than what the Iraqi government first reported. Human Rights Watch urging the Bush administration to do more about the Iraqi refugees who have fled their country. A recent UN study finds that overall nearly 2 million Iraqis have become refugees since the war began. It's estimated that 40% of Iraq's middle class has now left the country. Four American soldiers were killed yesterday by a homemade bomb in northern Iraq, according to the U.S. military. The American death toll in the Iraq war now stands at least 3,000. 2420 U.S. forces have been killed in January so far. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Saudi Foreign Minister Saud al-Faisal to ask for his country's help in supporting the Iraqi government. He's said to be skeptical of the Iraqi government's ability to do its part. First-term Democratic Senator Barack Obama of Illinois today announced that he is creating a presidential exploratory committee, the first step in a 2008 presidential run. He said he would have more to say about his plans in mid-February. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, who just completed a trip to Iraq and canceled her planned press conference for this afternoon. Today, jury selection began in the perjury and obstruction trial of former Chief of Staff to Vice President Cheney.